Now, the Peter chapter 1 and verses 1 to 11. This is a great part of the New Testament and a great passage and marvelous verses. And I do trust that as we read this together, God's Spirit will bring home the living power of these words to our hearts. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Let's hear the word of God. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, and may God bless the reading of his word and help us to understand what this teaching means. When I say the word mature, what image comes into your mind's eye? Mature. A ripe plum? Vintage wine, strong cheese, a wise counselor, an experienced elder, a senior citizen, an unusual teenager, mature beyond his years, or a man for all seasons. The last mentioned is a title from a film that was shown many years ago, a film that made quite an impression upon me when I saw it. It was the story about Sir Thomas More, who was Lord Chancellor of England and was eventually executed by Henry VIII when he refused to give legal sanction to the marriage of Henry and one of his many wives. More, Sir Thomas More, was a great man. And I thought his character illustrated many of the character traits that we can identify as belonging to a mature person. Namely, wisdom, integrity, stability, consistency, courage, courtesy, and contentment. Truly, a man for all seasons. Now that's quite a profile, isn't it? And what I want to say right at the beginning is that in measure and degree, that can be your profile and mine as Christians, if we are true Christian believers. Because when you read the New Testament, you find that Christian maturity is in fact an attainable goal for all Christian believers. And I want, over the next few weeks, to look at this subject, a and to try and distinguish some of the marks and understand the means whereby we may move towards it. And I take up the subject because I suspect that there are a number of people who feel that they've got stuck in their Christian lives, who've become stationary, perhaps in a rut, and even they feel shunted into a siding, spiritually speaking at least. But I want to say right at the beginning, none of us need remain in this position. None of us, believe me. So let me direct your attention to 2 Peter chapter 1 and this most amazing passage in the New Testament in its description of what is the norm for Christian growth and development and maturity. Did you notice that ladder of progress detailed in verse 5 and following? For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. This ladder of progress up which, according to the New Testament, all of us can climb right to the top, whoever we are. You needn't get stuck at the bottom rung or halfway up or anywhere. You can move up. Honestly, you can. That's what the New Testament says. Now, the word mature is not actually used at all in this passage of 2 Peter 1, but the idea of Christian maturity is very much enshrined in these verses. And in the New Testament, when the word mature is used, it conveys the idea of completeness or wholeness. The word originally meant to reach a high level of competence, for example, as a doctor or a teacher or even as a thief. To be mature in the sense of having one's powers and talents fully developed and completed. Then the word came to carry moral meaning in it. And so in ordinary use it came to mean adult behavior and was the opposite of childish play. So that's maturity. Now, one of the problems in our society today is that we have very few role models of maturity. Wouldn't you agree with me that that is the case? Wherever you look in public life, whether it's politics or entertainment or the sporting world, very few who are credible examples of maturity. Now, this business of role models is becoming an important one. The media are recognizing it, and the government as well. Just yesterday, in one of our national newspapers, there was a large article entitled, "Are Role Models the Answer for Feckless Youth?" Apparently the health minister is concerned about the low aspirations of so many of our youngsters. And it is the case, there are very few role models around. Just think of the world of sport. If you remember the names of great footballers like Jim Baxter, George Best, and Paul Gascoigne, people who had wonderful and amazing talent, but somehow they found it very difficult to cope with the pressures upon them and cracked. It's not just in the world of football we see this. I noticed yesterday in the world of bowling. Now, I would have thought bowls was a sedate sport which would produce model sportsmen, role models. But apparently not so. I read yesterday that one of England's bowling internationalists, Griff Sanders by name, age 26, has been banned for 10 years by the Devon County Association for his behavior. There are very few role models around for maturity. We parents needn't feel smug about this either in this regard. I heard the other day of two cartoons. The punchline of the first one read, "No matter what we teach our children, they insist on behaving just like their parents." The other cartoon pictured a child holding the remnants of a smashed tricycle and saying, "Dad, what are some of the things you say when you hit a bad shot at golf?" We have to admit that our modelling isn't that good for the younger generation. So where do we find a model for Christian believers, never mind everybody else? And here at last I come to the title of today's sermon. For of course our role model for maturity is Jesus Christ. Look at this magnificent third verse of 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me read it again. His, that is God's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And it really means that. Everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him, that is to say Jesus Christ, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Goodness. The last word is actually very difficult to translate into English, so I'm told. It's the great Greek word which really means excellence. Now there's a word that's used by many of our young people in recent years. I've heard so many of them say, "Oh, that's excellent. That's just really excellent." Well, that's the word that's used here. What's excellence? Well, the excellence of a washing powder is that it cleans. The excellence of a bottle of medicine is that it cures. But what's the excellence of a human being, a person, a man, a woman? That was a question which occupied the ancient Greeks a great deal. And the answer, they said, could be seen, for example, in an outstanding citizen or a faithful friend. In other words, what they were saying was that an excellent person was somebody who was an expert in the skill of living. Now such a person, I'm sure, would be very, very attractive to others, and others would be drawn to that person. That's a great thing. And so in this sense, Jesus Christ is the man par excellence. He's the person who supremely shows what it's really like to be a real human being in all its attractiveness. Let me ask you, what was it that attracted you in becoming a Christian? That's to say, putting your trust in Christ as your Savior and Lord. What was it that drew you to Christ as a person so that you made your commitment to Him? Let me move down to a lower league just for a moment. What was it that attracted you to the one you fell in love with, to your future spouse? What was it that attracted you to a close friend? What was it that attracted you to, say, a public figure that you greatly admire? There's usually some feature or features, isn't there? Whether it's the looks or the build or the smile or the sincerity or the humility or whatever. Now back to the question, what was it that attracted you to Jesus Christ, that drew you to respond to His call? The call that came to you, perhaps over a long time, as you were sitting maybe in the church, or sitting in the inquirer's class, or sitting in a large crusade rally meeting place, or just sitting in your home reading the Bible. What was it that made you respond to the call of Jesus? Well, Peter writes it down for us here, doesn't he? Who called us by His own glory and goodness. His divine glory and His human excellence. That's in Jesus, isn't it? We see in Jesus Christ, as we hear of Him in the Gospel, as He's made known to us by the Holy Spirit, we see in Jesus the perfect blend and balance of all that we would love to see in a human being. You see it supremely and preeminently in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see His wisdom and knowledge, His honesty and integrity, courage and strength, zeal and single-mindedness, kindness and compassion, meekness and mercy. It's all in Jesus Christ. What grace, O Lord, and beauty shone in all thy steps below. What patient love was seen in all thy life and death of woe. So Jesus is our role model for maturity, for human excellence. Notice it's not instant maturity, even for Christ. He was never a man disguised as a boy. As a boy, he was God's boy. As a youth, he was God's youth. And as the Christmas carol says, he is our childhood's pattern. Day by day, like him, we grow. So as he grew physically and mentally and in human experience, he increasingly showed his moral excellence. So here's our model for maturity, Jesus Christ. Now, the wonderful thing is this. Listen to this. This really is the good news of the Bible. The wonderful thing is that the life and character and elements of the maturity of the moral excellence of Jesus Christ can be in us. Formed in us. Shaped in us. That's what it says in verse 4. He's given us these great and precious promises so that through them we may participate in the divine nature. Put it the other way around, his nature can come into us and reproduce something of his moral excellence. Isn't that exciting? Marvelous? Wonderful, almost unbelievable. And so verse 5 says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith, what? Goodness. It's exactly the same word that we've been thinking about. That's mentioned in connection to Christ. His excellence. That excellence can be added to our lives. Add to your faith the same moral excellence, the same word. So Christ's maturity can be formed in us. Now, let me try and take this teaching and apply it to our lives this morning. And I want to do it in three ways. Taking these words, first of all, add to your faith goodness. Now, the first thing I want to say by way of application is this. We may mature in goodness, whatever our years. There is no restriction or limitation as far as age is concerned. Now, let me return to what I said right at the beginning and ask the question. Do you feel static in your Christian life and experience? Do you feel you're standing still? Now, let me particularly ask this, first of all, of those who are older in the congregation. And you can define that any way you want. Do you feel that you can't grow anymore? That you can't develop or mature or change anymore spiritually and Christianly? If so, I have to say that the whole weight of the Bible is actually against you. Never mind the credibility of God's living Holy Spirit. Some people used to say to me many years ago, "Oh, you can't teach an old dog new tricks." But actually you can. Spiritually speaking, you can. The exciting thing is that because of his divine power, verse 3, and because we are partakers of his divine nature, verse 4, we can go on growing and developing and changing and maturing right to the very end. And that's what makes 1999 such an exciting year to be alive in. The next time you pass a McDonald's restaurant, think about their statement of purpose. Stop and think about it. I'm not saying you have to stop and go in for a Big Mac. You don't have to do that. But stop and think of the statement of purpose, which is simply this, two words, press on. And there's nothing in the world so important as persistence. Add to your faith goodness. But some of you here this morning may be at a standstill because of disappointments, setbacks, maybe even criticism. And criticism can have a discouraging effect in one, and yes, it can make one stand still. If you're facing criticism, consider whether it's constructive or destructive criticism. Someone said, constructive criticism is what I say to you, destructive criticism is what you say to me. But criticism shouldn't be allowed to make you stand still. There's an Arab proverb which says, if you stop every time a dog barks, your road will never end. You still have to press on. Add to your faith goodness. Work it in. Mature, grow, develop. Or you may be at a standstill this morning because you feel you're too young. A young person, a child, and you've concluded long ago that the sermon's not for you, and it's a way above your head, and whenever the sermon starts, you switch off. And so you daydream and you score goals. I used to do it myself, dozens of great goals. Let me say, young folks, children, wherever you are, switch on just for a moment. You can understand this. A lot of what is said is above your heads, but each Sunday there'll be something to take and understand and go away and think about. So young folks, children, grasp this. You can understand it. You can grow in goodness through faith in Jesus. You can. You can ask the Lord to help you to grow in goodness. You can use the words of the children's hymn and say, teach me how to grow in goodness. Daily as I grow, thou hast been a child, and surely thou dost know. And he does. He knows about the things that you find difficult, the things that make you annoyed and irritated and angry, and the fibs that you're tempted to tell. And he understands that. And he says, you can do it. You can grow in goodness daily as you grow. So it doesn't matter what the age is. This is for all of us. We may mature in goodness whatever our years. That's the first thing. The second thing to say is we may, and it really follows on just from what I said, we may mature in goodness through Jesus and only through Jesus. Notice what it says in verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. You can't grow in moral excellence by lifting yourself up by your own shoelaces. You just can't do it. Verses 5 and 6 are there only because of verses 3 and 4 being before them. You can only add to your faith goodness because of the divine power of God and sharing in the divine nature through believing in Christ, being born again, he says in John chapter 3. It's only by that that we can add to our faith, but we can. And this means that we've to grow up together with Jesus Christ. You know how it is with youngsters who are staying in the house and home for 20 years and are so familiar with the characteristics of their parents that these characteristics rub off on them. Almost spontaneously, they take them on board. And it's to be like that as we mature, as we grow up together with Jesus Christ. Becoming so familiar with him as we read his word and pray to him and mix with these people that we know his ways and they rub off on us and we grow up with him. And one of the great characteristics that we learn about Jesus is his encouragement, his constant encouragement to us to go on and keep persisting and developing. There was a little boy who was playing darts with his father. He said, "Come on, Dad, let's play darts. I'll throw and you shout wonderful." And we tend to become what the most important people in our lives think of us. And the Lord thinks that we are special. That's why we sang that hymn with the children, especially today. The Lord thinks that we are special and unique, and He knows that we struggle and battle with our weaknesses, and we falter and fail and fall. But He's always there with encouragement, and He says, "Come on, I'm with you. Let's get up again and let's get going. Let's move forward. Press on to maturity." That's the message the Lord brings through the Epistle of the Hebrews. So there's the second thing. We may mature in goodness through Jesus Christ, but only through Him. Notice, only through Him. The third thing, we may mature in goodness through strenuous efforts. All that's been said, yes. But notice verse 5, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness." Every effort to add. That's a very interesting word, the word "add" there. It's drawn from the world of the Greek festivals. And the word is derived from the name of an individual, a rich individual, who supplied the chorus and paid for all the costs for the chorus in the Greek festivals and the Greek plays. It's actually our word choreographer. And it was a very expensive and costly business to pay for the chorus in these Greek plays. And yet you had competing choreographers vying with each other to pay the expensive costs. So the word "add" here means costly and generous cooperation. And the point is, we Christian believers in the process of maturity have to be involved in costly, generous cooperation with God, His divine power, His divine nature through Jesus inside us. And we've got to cooperate with that and add to our faith with strenuous efforts, week by week. Goodness, moral excellence, the process of maturity. Make every effort. And it does mean, in Sir Winston Churchill's famous words, "blood, sweat, tears, and toil." But we can do it, and it's worth it, because God is glorified and other people are influenced for Christ, and we will know the deepest possible purpose and meaning in life. So go for it. Go on to maturity. Add to your faith goodness. Let's pray together. We are grateful for every reminder that You are never finished with us, and don't allow us to settle down and to retire, as it were, from spiritual service. We bow before You in the consciousness that this word might make a difference to some people here today. We pray, patient, gracious Holy Spirit, that in these moments You would apply this message to the needs of hearts bowed before You. And pray that You will give new hope and new life and new energy, spiritual energy, to get up and get going in this year of grace. And it is a year of grace, and it is Your grace that enables us to do anything, anything at all. But there is sufficient grace through Jesus Christ and by Your Holy Spirit. So may this word come with power to our hearts today and make a difference. And we pray that You will be greatly honored by our response to it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.